coming up in this half, starting with, from Improvised Star Trek, a great friend, Mr. Sean Kelly.
Woo!
If you guys wanted to record an all-acoustic version of the Transformers soundtrack, I would buy that album, like, the day it came out. And I have been listening to Dare on repeat for, like, the last 3 weeks while I've been at work. And Eric, I think it's because of a tweet I saw you post. I was like, oh yeah, they have that other song. I should listen to that. This is a story with two really important characters. The first character is my anxiety. Now, everyone has at least a little anxiety. A little anxiety is healthy. A little anxiety is what makes you prepare adequately for a job interview. A little anxiety keeps you from going too fast when you're driving down the highway. A little anxiety keeps you from punching a stranger when they're leaning against a hand pole on the L during rush hour. I don't have a little anxiety. I have a lot of anxiety. My anxiety makes me show up to work an hour early every single day because what if the bus I take to work catches fire and I have to walk a couple of miles? I wouldn't want to be late, and I definitely read a story about a bus that caught on fire one time 3 years ago. My anxiety means that when I was 17 and first got my driver's license, I drove in the slowest lane on the highway and never went over the speed limit unless my anxiety made me think I was running late for something, in which case I had a big anxiety fight in my head about whether I was going to speed or not. And when I did speed, I sped a lot, or just sped very fast. My anxiety makes me panic when I hear a phone ring. My anxiety makes me avoid people I know on the street instead of saying hello. My anxiety has convinced me that after the next presidential election, the U.S. is going to turn into a Handmaid's Tale-style dystopia. My anxiety makes me constantly imagine worst-case scenarios. Generally speaking, I have a lot of anxiety, and generally it's not a good thing. In order to be a functioning person, I normally have to ignore the anxious voice in my head. The other significant character in this story is my wife, Chelsea. Chelsea, if you haven't met her, is a badass. Chelsea is kind, wickedly intelligent, and figuratively and literally strong. She will feed you, house you, and lend you her ear when you are in need, and then go to the gym and deadlift 250 pounds. Chelsea is also a huge nerd who loves Harry Potter so much that when she that when we went to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Florida earlier this year, she cried upon walking in and seeing Diagon Alley imagined in real life. I have a picture. Chelsea is a badass. She's a nerdy badass. She's also pregnant with our child, who, for the time being, we are calling Stormageddon, the Dark Lady of All. She'll have a pretty nerdy name when she's born, too, but that's her temporary nerdy name. So about 2 weeks ago, Chelsea and I were getting ready for work in the morning, the same as we do every morning. I had taken a shower, gotten dressed, and started to make coffee and breakfast. The mornings are very ritualistic for me. I sort of have to do the same thing every morning as someone whose life is predetermined by their anxiety does. Chelsea was in the bathroom getting ready to shower, when from the bathroom I heard her say, Sean, I think I have a bloody nose. This is not a regular part of our morning routine. I opened the door to the bathroom thinking I'd see her with like a little trickle of blood coming down her nose because everybody's nose bleeds every once in a while. Instead, Chelsea was covered in her own blood. It was actually starting to pool on the bottom of the bathroom floor, which was somewhat festive as it was the day before Halloween. I'm pretty sure this is the sort of thing that would worry anybody, but as a person whose life is ruled by anxiety, I have to tell you my first thought was, our baby is dead. Fortunately, I ignored that thought, and I checked with Chelsea and I said, are you okay? She replied, I don't know. I went to turn off the stove and came back to find her crumpled on the floor unconscious. Lying in her own blood. So this was when my anxiety really kicked in. However, this is also when my anxiety gave me superpowers. It was like a switch went off in my head because I spend every waking moment of my life imagining worst-case scenarios that when a worst-case scenario comes along, I was very prepared for it. I called 911, I described what had happened, and they sent an ambulance to my apartment. While we waited, I managed to get Chelsea into the shower. She had regained consciousness, but was still very woozy, and washed the blood off. We put her in some pajamas and got her on the couch. The EMTs arrived, and they checked her out. She was still very out of it. They told us we should get her to an emergency room ASAP. They brought her down to the ambulance and set her up. While they attached bags of fluid and whatnot, I emailed my boss and her boss to let them know what was going on, or most of what was going on anyway, since we didn't even really know what was going on. I got in the ambulance and we went to the ER. When we got there, the doctors, nurses, and residents gave Chelsea cold packs for her face. They told us that she had, it turned out she had passed out twice and landed on her face both times, smashing her nose and her mouth. And this was a weird relief because it meant that she hadn't landed on the baby. They determined that she was dehydrated, and that this is what made her pass out. So they hooked up some IV bags and started pumping her full of fluid. We waited as they did EKGs and blood tests and whatnot. They did an ultrasound. Stormageddon was fine. She even started kicking a little. Chelsea was fine, too. And after 4 hours in the ER, we were discharged. We stopped at Jewel and got Gatorade and headed home. Chelsea sat up on the couch while I washed the now dried blood off the bathroom floor, and I went to work. I walked into the office around noon, and my boss said, "What the hell are you doing here?" It was about that moment that the anxious part of my brain actually turned off just a little, and I thought, "What am I doing here?" I'd been running in worst-case scenario mode all day, and somehow I'd felt a need to get to work, because if I didn't go to work, even though I'd told them what I was doing, they would probably fire me, right? Which is, of course, ridiculous. So I went home, and I spent the rest of the day with Chelsea. The thing I want to emphasize here is that anxiety sucks all of the time, but it isn't all bad. I'm a writer by trade. That's what I do for a living. I write blogs for giant healthcare companies. I actually wrote an article about what you should do when somebody passes out about a month ago, so that was actually super helpful. And being an overly analytical person, as you are when you suffer from anxiety, makes me really good at writing. It also makes me good at comedy, which is my other thing. It also turns out that it makes me exactly the guy you want around when a worst-case scenario actually happens. Because when you pass out and smash your face on the ground, I'm the guy with the superpower that you need.
Thank you, Sean. That could have been really horrifying, man. Props to you. That's amazing.